This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Every day in the nice little Canadian town of Beaver Mount, Ontario, is pretty much the same. Folks are polite, there's a hockey game that evening, and someone gets brutally murdered. Sorry About the Murder, a very Canadian murder mystery podcast. New episodes weekly. Listen to season one now by typing Sorry About the Murder into your favorite podcast app.
Ah, ben là!
Hello, we're gearing up for the season two launch next week. Season two will consist of 9 regular episodes and 8 minisodes. The minisodes extend each episode and will be released on the same day as the regular episodes, exclusively for Patreon supporters. As a fully independent production, we rely on our patrons to keep the cocoa flowing, and every contribution, even just a few dollars, really, really helps. To become a patron, go to patreon.com/AmeliaPodcast. That's patreon.com/AmeliaPodcast. In the meantime, we thought we'd open up the Amelia office doors and give you a little tour behind the scenes. You've already got to know Oystein and myself, as well as Julia, who plays Alvina, and Alan, who plays the interviewer, in our behind-the-scenes special, but you haven't yet been introduced to the fifth member of the Amelia gang. You've heard his work in every episode, but you haven't yet heard his voice. So today, we'd like to introduce you to our composer and sound designer, Frederick Barden.
Congratulations. You've reached the Amelia Project. This phone call isn't happening. If you're not serious about this, hang up. Now. If you continue, there's no way back. Good choice. A new life awaits. You'll hear back from us within the hour. If you don't hear back, please consider the whole thing a hoax. Leave your message after the beep.
Help! Season 2 launches next week and I'm not ready. My computer crashed and I didn't make a backup. And the producers are complete maniacs. I need to disappear now. Quick! Help me!
What do you think, Einstein?
It is not what I'd imagined.
It's kind of very grand. It's epic. It's kind of like it sets the audience up for something. It's almost like Lord of the Rings or...
Yeah, Lord of the Rings meets Sherlock, something like that.
I love the beep, 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 beep. I love that build, but the theme itself, we need something that's a bit kind of stranger and smaller and quirkier. It's a little bit Harry Potter.
Yeah, it's still way too epic. It doesn't set the right tone. I like the melody, though.
Yeah, the melody's really nice. It could almost work, like, for the end of an episode, like, you know, when we're just about to go into the disappearance. But it's too sweeping and serious. I like it.
This is something.
Einstein?
Pip? Yes.
Hello. Hey, guys.
Freddy.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hi there. All right, I can hear you.
Yes, so last time we did one of these behind-the-scenes specials, we were in the studio together in Vienna enjoying cocoa and Norwegian chocolate.
Oh, the Norwegian chocolate.
Which was very lovely. This time, unfortunately, we are separated by many miles. We're all in different countries, and we're doing this over Skype, which is actually our normal way of working, since we are all in different places. So, yeah, I'm in Paris. Freddie, you are?
I'm still in Oslo, Norway.
I'm also in Oslo, but I'm not in the same place as Freddie.
Oh, I thought you were in Sweden right now.
No, I'm in Norway.
Okay, cool. So no Norwegian chocolate, or I don't know, you might have Norwegian chocolate.
I should have had some, shouldn't I? That's a fail on my part. The only thing I have here is a glass of water.
So oh dear. What about you, Freddie? Do you have any Norwegian chocolate?
Yeah, no. I'm sitting with a kind of cocoa. It's powdered cocoa. It's called Rettikoppen. It's directly translated. Straight into the cup. It's not that good, but it's cocoa.
So okay, well, I'm drinking cocoa. I'm too. I mean, I whenever I do Emilia stuff, I have to drink cocoa to get in the zone. I'm drinking a German cocoa. It's called Niederegger Marzipan Trinkschokolade. Did you manage to decipher that?
Yeah, you just said marzipan. There's marzipan in your hot chocolate.
There's marzipan in my hot chocolate. It's a marzipan hot chocolate.
How does that even work? How do you liquefy marzipan? I don't understand.
If you're feeling jealous right now, you should. It's very good.
Liquefied marzipan. That sounds like a great band name.
Yeah.
Cool. Anyway, so hopefully this time there will be slightly less slurping and chewing noises than last time. We did get a little bit of flack about that. not least from you, Freddie.
Yeah, I can't remember how much time I used on actually removing mouth noises, but I think you were the worst, Pip, honestly.
Well, I mean, Øystein had brought this big bar of Norwegian chocolate, and when there's Norwegian chocolate, there's no stopping me. And I think before I answered any question, I just shoved a big batch of Norwegian chocolate in my mouth. So,
while talking,
yes.
Nonetheless.
Anyway, we've only been talking for a few minutes, and we're already wildly digressing. So the reason that we're doing this today is that we wanted to give you, our dear listeners, a little insight into the creation of the music and the sound design for the Emilia Project, because last time we did a behind the scenes, Freddie unfortunately wasn't there. So we've been wanting to do something like this for a long time, and today we finally found a moment to get together and do this. So what should we talk about first?
Maybe we should start. I think we should start at the beginning, which is the theme tune, actually, because that's how our collaboration really kicked off. You and I met up in a pub in Oslo, and Pip wasn't there.
Yeah, actually, that is the same pub that I met my girlfriend the very first time.
So all the good things in the world happened to you in that pub.
I have a very special bond with Captain Mustard, no, Colonel Mustard in Oslo. So yeah, that was a really great meeting.
And in fact, I've just opened the document of like the very first script and like the very first script and what we wrote in terms of the theme.
Oh yeah.
So we wrote, we hear the crackle of tape run on for a bit longer than a shrill beep. The Emilia theme starts. Echoey chords playing over a faint drone underpinned by a rhythmic beat.
Yeah.
Now that's pretty vague.
Yeah.
Because
you wrote beep, and then I read your scripts, of course, and then in the second episode, I think it's Zale Indigo Ravenheart.
Yeah.
There's a seamless transition into the countdown clock, counting down to his demise, cannon launch. And I had this idea about just, well, what if I just have the beep going in seconds, and then that becomes part of the theme, and then it also sets up for a really good suspense, and it goes transitions beautifully into the clock project and the countdown clock
by Philip Thorn and Øystein Braga, with music and sound design by Frederick Baden. Episode 2. Zale Indigo Ravenheart.
I think the very first sound you hear in an audio drama is like really important. Like, just the very first sound has to be something kind of representative or strange or funny or whatever you're trying to create. And so so I love that kind of beep being the very first thing.
When you pushed play on an Amelia episode, because that click or that shrill beep sound is very distinct, I think. So with the theme, it starts with the voice message, and it's read by Julia Morozawa, which we all of course love and have dear in our hearts. In the background, I wanted to actually, when you sent me the script, you already had the wonderful icon and the Amelia Project label, and around the icon is a Morse code. And I love Easter eggs. It's the best thing I know. It's my favorite dish. So I took the Morse code and I put it in just a simple sine tone synth and made it into eighths and fourth notes. And it's in the background there just so that you could hear it, but maybe you don't hear it on the first time you listen to it because you're focusing on her voice, and then you, whoa, there's something going on in the background, which is, I love double layers. It's really fun.
So that's Morse code. And is it actually spelling something out?
It's spelling out the Amelia Project. Let's start with the drums. Over that, there's some percussion sets that are giving some details, and sweeteners with loads of gran casa and cymbals and swells. So together it sounds very big, like this. I really like having dramatic violins in the back where to counteract the kind of quirky oompa sound. So these are some really bitey violins, and together with that we have some keyboards, and to add to the weirdness, there is a little piccolo flute in the background in the B part. sort of a little fanfare over there.
I love the piccolo flute.
Øystein and I are big fans of the piccolo flute. Where the first sketch of it that had the piccolo flute, we were both like, yay!
Yeah. And to round it out and to get to some real bottom end, we have the bass section, where it's a normal upright bass and a little synth bass as well, which is just oscillating on the fourths. So for this tune, it's not that simple, but it's simple enough for me to be able to use it into different genres. And I really enjoy, like, develop a vehicle that is able to go to different places. For example, death metal. I really like this version of the theme that got me back to my double bass pedal and back rocking behind the drum kit.
So, Freddie, there's also another episode in season one where you've done something particular with the theme. So this is the Steve episode where there's a character who they turn up to their own funeral at the end of the episode. And in the background, we can hear the organ play.
So this is kind of a Baroque fugue-ish melody line just going over while they are talking in the forefront. This is going on in the background. But I wanted to take the opportunity to do something fun. So I made this bass line that you're hearing in the organ counterpoint. If I speed this up a lot, like this, then you can kind of hear that this is actually the theme melody being played in the bass notes and with the counterpoint on top. And then, of course, it goes into the normal tempoed version of the theme in organ version afterwards. In all of the themes throughout season one, all of them end on a fifth. So if I play what is called a total harmonic cadence, it's the first, and it's the fourth, and it's the fifth, and then you obviously want to go back home to the first.
Right.
But if you keep the bass, it kind of feels like you're not really fulfilling the cadence. It doesn't feel like you're home yet. So, again, with the suspense and with keeping everybody on their toes, throughout all of these themes, none of them are really ending. I wanted to make kind of a point out of that by making the only theme song that ends with a full cadence. It is the last episode of the season. The season finale is the only episode that ends in the full cadence. I kind of thought that was a little poetic Easter egg.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
So, in addition to the music, Freddie's also our sound designer. So, Osen and I do the dialogue edit. We select the performances we want, we put it all together, and then we send it to Freddie. And Freddie places the voices into an environment. So, Freddie, do you want to just talk us through how you created that environment, or the office for the Amelia project?
I was eager to make the office alive. And to kind of establish the ground rules for the office and for the hallway and for how the office sounds and stuff like that. So if we can just jump into the office. Do you want to go into the office?
Yes, give us a tour.
Yeah. So we're now okay. So we're going into the corridor now, and it's. You have to yell if you're gonna be able to hear it into the office where we usually are, and it sounds very reverberant and it's not very intelligible, but enough. So yeah, and if we knock, it sounds like this, and then we just go into the office.
Yeah, and you haven't been there before, have you?
It's even messier in here than I wrote it.
Take a tour. You can see that it is from the door.
It is about 3 to 4 or 5 steps over to where you're supposed to be sitting as a client. So it's a normal chair with 4 legs. It's made of wood and it creaks a bit. And then if I go over to the interviewer's chair, it's kind of an office chair with some wheels on it. And I can go back and open the window, for example, and you hear all the noise from outside the window. Yeah, so we've established a blueprint, I think, in our Google Drive together. I tried to do that as detailed as possible, as early as possible, so that it wouldn't be any discrepancies over time. You said that this is gonna go for a long haul, and I wanted to go with it and kind of established the ground rules, and of course there's been some adjustments, but I hope that the discrepancies and the notable differences are so small that it's not going to be that notable, hopefully.
Is that, by the way, is that the intercom on the desk just there?
Oh yeah, this old thing.
Yeah, can I press it? Am I allowed to press it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Salvatore? Salvatore, can I have some more Niederegger Trick Schokolade? Let's see if that works. Another challenge was when we had the episode about the artificial intelligence, Siri.
Yes, Siri was... I loved Siri. Not only the where it was taking us sound design-wise, but the element of artificial intelligence and the future, what it holds. Nowadays, you have Google Assistant making hairdressing calls for you, and the person on the other side of the line doesn't know it's a machine. So that's how far we come. But for Amelia Project, we wanted it to be not that realistic and more robotic and more synthetic. So I took all the melody in the singing in every syllable, I took that out of her performance, and she already kind of made it like this, so that every syllable has a tone. And I sort of quantized that in the DAW. You can kind of hear what it sounds like without.
It has been 2 years, 7 weeks, and 14 seconds since my first circuits were activated.
And with.
It has been 2 years, 7 weeks, and 14 seconds since my first circuits were activated.
And I moved some notes around to make it kind of glitchy, so that she doesn't sound that human.
That's really cool. It's incredible how it's a really a joint effort to create Siri's voice. I mean, first it's Elizabeth's performance, of course, and then I did the dialogue edit, and I did several things in the dialogue edit that took forever. I edited out every single breath, because robots don't breathe. So there, every single time she took a breath, breathe it in or out, I've cut that out of her speech, which means that all the words can also be smushed together, because then there's certainly just holes in the sentences. And then I also took some of the words and phrases that repeat, I actually, even though she read them many times, I chose one of them, and I used that then several times. Like every time she says that word, I use the same bit of recording, even though it, yeah. So there was that is the most time consuming episode I've had to dialogue edit on. And then on top of that, you come in and work your magic to create this voice.
So I remember getting the first sketch for Siri with the voice, which was great, and then we got a second sketch from you, which included hydraulics.
Yeah, that was a workout. There seems to be, well, either I was bad at Googling or searching and finding the right words for the sample that I was trying to get. The hydraulics didn't give much results. For what I wanted, it was either just huge industrial-sized hydraulic machines, or it was all the wrong stuff. And then I was completely exasperated and I just wanted to take a break and lean back. So I lowered my office chair. And while lowering my office chair, I got the perfect sample. It was extraordinary. So I had to hold the microphone in my hand, and I also had to hold the other handle on the actual chair and doing some incredible leg exercises by going up and down with my legs while sitting in it. Because you can't push it, it needs weight for you to go up and down. But I think I got some good samples out of it, and I think her body came alive.
I put on a cap and learned to rap. I'm Tzika, 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 Siri.
But there's not, like, not all of the challenges we've given you in the first season were that fun. I know there's one you really don't want to go through again.
Oh, man, yeah. Selecting vomiting samples for the hell episode. Oh.
And here come your ice creams. Gentlemen, enjoy.
That's so what?
We've had to promise Freddy not to include any more vomiting in season two. Well, by the time we get to season three, maybe we can negotiate to have a few more vomits in there. But like season two is a vomit free zone.
There's a no go.
And talking of season two, do you want to give our listeners, since we're launching season two next week, do you want to give listeners a little preview of what was the most challenging thing for season two? Obviously, don't be too explicit, but maybe you can give them a little hint.
I can tease that there will be up to several body of water movements in season two, and I don't have a boat. I can't go into the middle of something, some fjord and record. So if you want water sounds with zero reverb, it's very difficult. That's another thing about reverb. It's really the sound designer's enemy. It's the nemesis, because it's always in the way, and it's always hassling you guys always for, oh, this track is too reverby. You have to get another one. So
reverb is the only thing we struggle to make disappear.
Yeah, oh, that's a good one. yeah. So
because you add the reverb bit, because you add the room's reverb on later.
Yes, exactly. Like we heard in the office just now, it's if I move this mic away now and you just hear if I sound like this and then I put this track into another room track, it just sound double roomy and it doesn't sound like your in the same room as I am, because I'm in a completely different ambience. So for me to be able to have all these different elements as a baseball bat and roller skates and water and sound of someone puking and your voice, all of them have to be without the reverb for me to be able to put it into the same reverb, you know.
Hopefully we'll do this again at the end of season two, and then we can talk about, because I think there will be a lot to talk about for season two.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's some stuff.
There's some stuff.
I know that you're not quite finished yet with season two, so we should probably let you go and so make sure that you're ready for next week.
Yeah, I have some water stuff to go through.
but before that, maybe you could, since we don't have champagne, maybe you could give us some digital champagne.
I have it right here. Do you want some?
Ooh, yes, please.
Just let me shake it. And here we go!
Hey! Okay, well, let's toast to the launch of season two next week.
For season two. Chin-chin.
We'll be right back.
This episode featured Frederick Baden, Øystein Brager, and Philip Thorne. It was edited by Philip, with music and sounds by Freddie. See you back next week for the first episode of Season 2. And if you're in London, you can join Øystein and myself at the Jugged Hare Pub for not a cocoa, but a beer.
Oh my God, six days, what am I going to do? I gotta run.
Freddy!
Hey, what are you doing?
Freddy!
Hey, good luck with season two!
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
The world has still ended.
Darcy was a cafeteria worker.
Do you see that minotaur sitting out in the food court?
What minotaur? Just an ordinary, everyday human, probably.
Egerton, you didn't even need a fairy cake. Why did you eat a fairy cake?
Because I stress eat sometimes.
Egerton was a PR flack for the Imperial government.
This extremely devastating explosion was, in fact, a celebration.
He's a flightless fairy with a sweet tooth.
There were some zombies, but Blatt blew them up. I climbed a tree.
And we're skipping ahead. Yeah.
Blatt used to be a filing clerk.
I'll pneumatic tube it up, sir.
Now he's discovering the secrets of his half-demon heritage, like his ability to summon a soul-bound weapon.
Oh, you're here to destroy time, eh? Well, eat bazooka!
Three normal dweebs, rescued from the end of the world and sent on a last-ditch quest to save all of reality.
There is a way to stop the shattering, but we need you three.
The End of Time and Other Bothers, an improvised fantasy role-playing game set in the world of Alba Salix. Find it in your favorite podcast app or visit otherbothers.com.
There's no evil, so you're welcome.
Flawless logic.
Oh, boy.